Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And we welcome you into another week of the Steve Jones Show, News Radio 1070 WKOK, and Sean Carey. Steve on his way into the Sunbury Motor Studio as we speak. And, of course, the Monday edition of the Steve Jones Show, always brought to you by our great friends at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. The Purdys and their crew, they are already in the planning stages of the annual Truman H. Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament. That'll be on Wednesday, May the 3rd at the Susquehanna Valley Country Club. And once again, this year, we will be part of that, and of course, to benefit the Greater Susquehanna Valley YMCAs. You can get in touch with the Y in Sunbury at 570-286-5636 to lock in your foursome, and we hope you can join us for a great day of golf and a lot of fun. And of course, on same day, Wednesday, May 3rd, we'll be broadcasting the show from the deck at the country club, so we look forward to that. It's a tradition unlike any other, of course, for us here at WKOK.
Yeah, we're trying to get Tiger Woods since he's free to see me. You know, look, I mean, look, I just want to win the damn thing. Let's go.
Your broadcast partner's rubbing off me. We got to win. We got to beat these guys.
Well, no, I look at the people I've been playing golf with on this thing. Look, I want to win. I don't want people like that hit the bridge. I mean, I don't want that.
I don't blame you.
Okay, I want people to hit the green, not the bridge. My goodness.
Trust me. If I was a golfer, I would be in with you every day twice on Sunday. Come on now.
Look, and last year, I mean, he played in a suit. I mean, come on, you can't do that. You can't carry the image over to the golf course. It's a golf course. You can't play the game in a suit. Interesting stat, by the way, Patriot League. You know, I thought Bucknell looked great yesterday. I watched the game yesterday on CBS Sportsnet. Good view of the back of Doug Birdsong's head, by the way.
Yeah, fabulous. Right there at center court. Yep, caught it too.
Doug, really, good look.
Stands out in high def.
High def, couldn't look any better. Maybe a little makeup in a couple spots wouldn't have hurt, but that's all right. It's good.
Yeah, boy, second half, they really turned on the Jets.
Yeah, but listen to this, and I'm going to bring this up with Nathan Davis tomorrow. I guess we'll have Nathan on tomorrow, right?
You betcha.
This year, in the teams that have played the Monday-Wednesday games, you know how many wins the Wednesday team has?
I will say nil.
0-10. Mm. Teams in the Patriot are 0-10 when playing the Wednesday game in the league. And, of course, they had to play Colgate on Monday night and play Loyola on Wednesday. Correct?
Correct.
And people were surprised at the result. Well, my point is, don't be surprised. In the Monday-Wednesday games, the team that played Monday is 0-10 on Wednesday. You didn't think I followed the Patriot League, did you?
I know you do. No surprise from this guy.
All right. I mean, that's to me, is the stat of stats. And that is, you're doing it, obviously, for TV. I got it. You're doing it for TV. I've got it. You need the exposure. It's good for the conference. But there is a toll to be paid to do it. And that's the issue with the, we're doing it all for TV. And they are. I mean, they're only doing this for TV. I mean, that's the only reason that they're doing it. And I think that that is, you know, what are you sacrificing in order to be on television? What are you sacrificing in quality? We talk about this in the NFL with the Thursday night game. What are you sacrificing in quality in order to take the Thursday night television dollars from CBS and NBC? What are you sacrificing in quality? Well, it even comes down to the Patriot League. What are you sacrificing in quality on a Wednesday night to play Monday, Wednesday for TV? And I think it's a legitimate question. When you're looking at conferences that are fighting for exposure, you're not going to get the best days and times to play. That's why in college football season, you'll have the MAC playing on a Tuesday, sometimes on a Wednesday, sometimes on a Friday. A couple of other conferences fall into that spot too, like the Sun Belt. May play on a Tuesday, may play on a Wednesday, may play on a Friday. But they're trying to get the TV exposure. Same thing with what the Patriots doing with the Monday game followed by a Wednesday. They're trying to get the TV exposure. At what price are you sacrificing quality to do that? And I am firmly in the camp that with this new TV contract, you're not only going to see Friday Night Football, I think you're going to start seeing Big Ten Monday Night Basketball. The basketball in the Big Ten will be every day of the week except Friday. Now, they haven't announced it yet. They haven't announced it at all. Maybe they're not going to do it. But they have experimented in the past with a couple of Monday night games. Penn State three years ago. Played a Monday night game at Ohio State. Thought that was interesting. And I thought, this is the beginning of something here, because it wasn't the only one that they had. I'm talking about the only Big Ten Monday game. There's a couple of others that year, and I kind of felt it was an experiment. But I found that to be very interesting. The 0-10 for teams that play Monday, they come back and play Wednesday. A little bit different. And I do realize that you're looking for the exposure. I got that. My question is, at what price? Now let's flip it to the other side. A sport that desperately needs exposure and then does something dumb. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Ensuring your business is serious stuff. You don't need gimmicks or cutesy mascots or punchlines. You certainly don't want red tape. You just want the right coverage at the right price. We're as serious about insuring your business as you are about running it. Selective. Response is everything.
Get to know your local Selective agent, Pretty Insurance, on Market Street in Sunbury or at prettyinsurance.com. Find out what Pretty Insurance can do for you.
Welcome back. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Don in Mifflinburg is waiting on the line. Hi, Don. How are you today? Hi, Don.
Hi.
How are you today?
I am doing great. And you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for asking, Don. Great to hear from you.
I appreciate your taking the call. What I wanted to elaborate on regarding the Monday-Wednesday format that you were just discussing a few minutes ago is the fact that there are three teams in the Patriot League who played twice in that format. They are Boston University, Bucknell, and Lehigh. And three teams that did not participate in it at all, Army, Navy, and Lafayette.
Right.
The implications to me could have significantly impacted the results of the in the standings of the league and the championship. Now, fortunately for Bucknell, you know, they played so well yesterday that they made the whole thing moot. But at the same time, if they would have lost, it could have thrown things into a bit of a tither.
Absolutely agree, Don, because what had happened with the fact in the last 2 weeks, Bucknell's had to play the Monday-Wednesday. You know, they beat Holy Cross, they lost to Lehigh. Then they beat Colgate, then they lost to Loyola. Well, suddenly, Boston University's right there in the neighborhood with them. And then the 20-point win yesterday, as you pointed out, ends up making it moot. But what they're trying to do is I think they're trying to examine, before the season begins, best matchups, what's going to look good on TV, and there's going to be three teams, Lafayette, Army, Navy, that aren't going to make that cut. That's why they're not going to be a part of the package.
And they were in the preseason poll, the three teams that were the lowest ranked.
Exactly. Good point.
Yeah. And I've written, emailed John Hart about this. Got a reply from him this morning saying that it is something that the coaches and ADs have been monitoring his word and that they would be discussing it at their spring get-together.
And they're going to have to. The coaches, of course, make a lot of recommendations, Don, but that doesn't mean the league has to go along with it.
Oh, certainly.
As you and I both know. And ultimately, they've got to be very careful about this because there is a fine line between taking the TV money and the TV exposure, both extremely important, and what does it do to the competition?
Right. And I think if each of the teams is represented at some point in the process, it dilutes the impact.
You're probably right. I'm wondering if Army and Navy have an exemption because of being service academies. I don't know that.
Yeah. They did a Saturday TV game, so maybe that's their feeling that it makes up for it.
Right. I watched some of that, as a matter of fact. You know, I watched some of Ed's team play the other day. They played pretty well, too.
Yes, they did. So thank you very much for taking the call.
Great points, Don. Great points. Appreciate it.
Take care. Right. Bye.
Let's flip it now to the other side. You're looking for TV exposure. You're looking for a sport that the people who love the sport love it. It doesn't have mass national appeal, but the people who love the sport love it. That's wrestling. You finally get a marquee matchup. And for all the complaints about the Big Ten Network, BTN does carry Minnesota, Iowa, Penn State, Iowa, Penn State, Ohio State, Penn State, Minnesota, you know, Iowa, Ohio State. I mean, they carry the big matches. They may not carry enough for the Penn State fan, but they at least carry more than most people do. And if the Oklahoma State dual meet had been at Rec Hall, like it was a year ago, it would have been on BTN. Instead, it's on Flow Wrestling. You've got to come up with a better way of doing things than to have some bush league set up like that, where you finally get the marquee number one versus number two matchup, and we're gonna do this in a half-hearted bush league manner. We're gonna put it on pay-per-view, where, oh, by the way, the vast majority of the time you get to watch the circle go round and round. If you want to step up and act like you're a major league sport, then act like a major league sport. The Big Ten treats it like a major league sport because they'll put it on BTN, which is 70 to 78 million subscribers. I mean, the BTN may not do enough wrestling for wrestling fans here. Completely understand the argument. But they'll put on wrestling matches. I mean, to do this, Oklahoma State has their agreement with Flow Wrestling, whatever. It's Bush League. I'm sorry. Hey, you want to be in the major leagues? Fine. But you got number one against number two on that. It's 2017. It's 2017. It's Bush League. I don't know if anybody watched it online. I don't know. You can listen to it online. But I don't know if anybody watched it online. I know a few people here tried to watch it online. They paid their $12.95 or whatever it was with the idea they're going to drop the subscription at the end of the month. But they paid their $12.95, and I guess it kept dropping. It kept circling. The stream was a mess. I mean, that's what you do when you've got number one against number two in your building. And BTN can't carry it. They're not allowed to carry it because it is at Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State has the rights to the dual meet. If it had been at Rec Hall, BTN carries it. You can't sit there and keep aching about they need to give us more exposure. They need to give us more exposure. Then when you get this and end up with a totally Bush League thing like that, is shake your head and say, yep, probably a great day for the sport and a missed opportunity. In fact, I'll term it an embarrassment for the sport. Matt Leon, next half hour. Nathan Baird, Lafayette Journal Courier. 4:06 half hour. Tomorrow, Joe Lenardi, Joey Brackets. Thursday, Tony Knopp. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
6 more weeks of winter? Not here at Sunbury Motors Kia. I wanna see you in a Kia. Sunbury Motors Kia. The president of Sunbury Motors just signed an executive order proclaiming it's spring selling season. And these deals will more than warm your heart. Sunbury Motors Kia has 80 new Kias to choose from. 2016 Optima starting at $17,999. A 2016 Forte EX for $15,999. And three 2016 Rio EXs, your pick for $14,999. There's also financing as low as 0% for up to 60 months. And of course, Kia's 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty. Our president has spoken. Spring has sprung at Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip at Hummel's Wharf and at sunburymotors.com. Warranty is unlimited powertrain warranty. For details, see retailer or go to kia.com.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Purdy's have served this valley for decades. They get you the best insurance, the right price, and there's a claim, they're on it right away. Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Matt Leon in a few moments. Nathan Beard next half hour. 1887, the first Minor League Baseball Association organized in Pittsburgh. I was their original announcer. 1929, the Red Sox announced they would begin playing games on Sundays. Ooh, sacrilege. 1943, Philip Wrigley and Branch Rickey chartered the All-American Girls Softball League. 1952, Emmett Ashford becomes the first black umpire in organized baseball. Eventually, he makes it to the major leagues. He was a good umpire, too. 1958, Eddie Arcaro, the great racing jock, win number 4,000 in his career in the state in 1958. Phil Esposito, 1971, fastest to 50 goals in the season at that point. Ended up with 76 goals, 76 assists. 1974, Gordie Howe comes out of retirement to play for the Houston Aeros with his two sons in the WHA. 1993, Marlins opened their first spring training camp. Scott Pose, by the way, is the first Marlins batter ever in a game. I probably worked 5-10 baseball games on BTN with Scott. Awesome guy. 2000, Garth Brooks began training with the New York Mets. It went nowhere. And that's this day in sports history. Also on this date in sports history, the suit did nothing. A line we could use every day. All right. What? Stop it. Stop laughing. Matt Leon, KYW Philadelphia, joins us. Boogie Cousins goes from Sacramento to New Orleans, which is probably good for Tim Frazier, by the way. But there a lot of talk had been before here, not Cousins, but Jahlil Okafor. Does this hurt the Sixers in any way?
Yeah, it's interesting. While they should have made a deal for Okafor right now, the trade actually helps the Sixers a whole heck of a lot, and I'll tell you why. Because the Sixers own the right this year to swap picks with the Kings, right, if it's in the top 10. So with the Sixers, with the arrow pointing up for the Sixers, and now Sacramento, who was mediocre at best to start with, you would expect them to completely bottom out. All of a sudden now the Sixers look like they have a legitimate chance to get into the top 5-6 of the draft. In addition, the Sixers own the, I think it's the 2019 unprotected pick of Sacramento. And, given where the Kings are and as far as a rebuild's concerned, it would appear that that's going to be a really good pick as well. So yes, it hurts because New Orleans looked to be very interested in Jahlil Okafor, not moving Okafor. But in a roundabout way, it might actually help them more for what it does to Sacramento and the draft assets of the Kings that the Sixers currently own.
All right, I ask every week, but I'll ask again, what timetables do you have on Joel Embiid and also on Simmons?
I think Joel Embiid, they returned Friday. There was some kind of casual talk that they hope to have him back after the All-Star break. Whether that means Friday, I don't know. Ben Simmons now is getting shadier and shadier. He would seem to be further away than we thought, because I, a couple weeks ago, thought it was going to be after the All-Star break.
Right.
I obviously don't think that's the case now, and I think we are still some time away from seeing Ben Simmons, but the Sixers play all this injury stuff with cloak and dagger and deflection, and so you have to read a lot of tea leaves, but, you know, I mean, Ben Simmons hasn't even started, like, 5-on-5 practicing or anything like that, so it's going to be a while.
Yeah. Yeah, it sounds it. All right, in the city, we all know Villanova's having an awesome year. What's been the problem with the other four in the city?
Well, Temple's been inconsistent. Well, actually, a lot injury's been a big problem, kind of across the board, in different ways. Yeah. I mean, even Villanova hasn't had Darryl Reynolds the last couple games, although it's you would not know it just by the way they continue to take care of business. LaSalle's got a lot of talent, and I would say the Explorers have a puncher's chance of putting a run together in the Atlantic 10 because they've got a boatload of talent. They were without the Pookie Powell, their guard, who had been playing really well. He came back, and that looks like it's kind of steadied things. So LaSalle's just been wildly inconsistent. They have some issues when they struggle defensively. St. Joe's has just been destroyed by injuries.
Yep.
They lose their top two scorers, Shavar Newkirk and Fresh Kimball, who were both having really good years, in addition to some other injuries, and they just don't have the horses. You know, it's not the team that was designed. So that's been their problem. Temple's missed Josh Brown, the point guard. Temple kind of, I think, outkicked their coverage with some big wins early on, specifically that wins in the tournament where they beat West Virginia, and I can't remember who else off the top of my head. That probably set expectations a bit too high, and then Temple has struggled since then. They rely on a lot of young kids, and you're going to have some ebb and flow there, but the main problem with the Owls is inconsistency. Penn's actually fascinating because if you had to ask me right now who's the second most likely team to get into the NCAA tournament from the city, I would say your Penn Quakers. They look dead in the water at 0-6 in the Ivy League after a bad loss at Dartmouth. But since then, they've won four straight, just beat Yale up in New Haven yesterday for the first time since 2011. They haven't trailed in their last three games. And, you know, the Ivy League's got a tournament this year. I mean, most any other year, you know, we would just be talking about a young Quaker team developing. But you've got a tournament that's going to be held at the Palestra this year. Top four get in. Right now, Penn's tied for fourth with four games remaining. And while Princeton is easily the best team in the league and undefeated right now in the Ancient Eight, the way Penn's playing, and if they can get in and they would play it at the Palestra, I would not bet against them. So that could be a storyline to keep an eye on that has really just developed over the last 2 weeks.
And by the way, just to fill in the blank, Temple beat Florida State as well early in the year.
Florida, thank you, yeah.
No problem. All right, I want to get to spring training. Things finally get going this week with spring training games. You mentioned, I think it was last week, 2 weeks ago, a lot of optimism in the Phillies camp. When you look at the job they've done rebuilding that farm system in such a short period of time, how remarkable was such a quick rebuild, in your opinion?
No, it's phenomenal. I mean, it really was. I mean, if you go back to 2011, 2012, now people weren't paying that much attention to the farm system because the big league team, you know, specifically in 2011 was winning 102 games or whatever it was.
Right.
But they had nothing in the minor leagues. They had maybe one kid at each level that was, you know, a guy that you would really turn your head. What they've done is and it goes back, it's not just the new regime. You've got to go back, and as critical as I've been of Ruben Amaro, his last year, whether somebody was forcing his hand in stuff or what, but they started making some very good trades with an eye to the future, spinning off guys that didn't figure into the long-term plans, and really restocking the farm system. In addition to the quality, is there's quantity. One of the things you really like is there's not just one starting pitcher that you really like. You could have three guys at AAA this year who are, you know, plus prospects, if not plus-plus prospects. Multiple outfielders, multiple first basemen. They're loaded at catcher, a position they had no young talent at for years. They've now got three or four guys that are, you know, if not prospects, above average talents. It's really impressive, and it's allowed them to not have to throw money at mediocre free agents to try to fill holes. They're being, you know, they're comfortable in taking this way, a slow march upwards as they try to just kind of let these young guys play themselves in or play themselves out of jobs here. And I think what you'll see is that this year will be a lot like last year. Young kids, they'll cycle through who figures in, who figures out. And then I think going into 2018 is when you'll start to see them spend free agent money. But it's remarkable. I mean, you know, this is about the second or third year that this minor league system has been just really, really at the top. And when you consider, you know, they were arguably the worst in 2010, 2011 or so, it's really impressive.
Always a pleasure, my friend.
Thank you so much.
All right, Matt. Leon from KYW Philadelphia. We will come back in a few moments. Next half hour, Nathan Beard, Lafayette Journal Courier on Purdue basketball. We'll talk about that next half hour. More to come here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Great to have you with us. Nathan Beard, Lafayette Journal Courier, next half hour. And we'll talk about Purdue, which is on a roll, ranked 14th in the country after the most recent rankings. And they'll be here tomorrow night. I was talking to Trace McSorley and Jason Kabinda about Purdue today. We're talking about them. Kabinda and McSorley both played high school hoops. I was talking about Swanigan. 23 double-doubles. That's the most in the Big Ten in 30 years by one guy. So...
One other guy who's definitely impressed with his numbers, Mike DeCourcy. Whoa, is he, all the hoops that he has seen over the decades and glowing reviews on Swanigan.
Well, and there should be. Look, Swanigan has done a great job of reshaping his body where now he is really good and he runs the floor now. He is an excellent defensive rebounder. Now, there's certain things about this team that do not fit your stereotype. And here is what does not fit the stereotype. Number one, you see Swanigan at 6'9", and 7'2", Isaac Haas. So you assume this is a great offensive rebounding team, when in fact they are not a good offensive rebounding team. What they are is a great defensive rebounding team. But they're not a great offensive rebounding team, which is a surprise when people see it and hear it. Number two, with a 6'9 guy in Swanigan and a 7'2 Isaac Haas, they're not a good shot blocking team. Do you realize that this year Purdue has 70 block shots? Mike Watkins has 67. Next, you've got Haas and Swanigan. They must be killing it at the two-point line. Now, percentage-wise, they are. But Purdue is an exponentially better three-point shooting team than people realize. They get 46% of their points from two and 35% of their points from three. They've got guys on the floor between Swanigan, Dakota Mathias, PJ Thompson, Ryan Klein, Vince Edwards, Carson Edwards. All six guys can shoot the three. That spreads the floor out. And that makes such a big difference in what they're doing. So there are certain things about this team that don't match the stereotype. Now, here is their problem moving forward. Point guard play. Not good enough on the big stage. You've got a guy in Dakota Mathias, really good three-point shooter. Mathias is a really good distributor. He actually leads, as a forward, leads the team in assists. And when I talk about point guard play, I'm not talking about point guard play as opposed to tomorrow night's game. I'm talking about big-picture point guard play. Purdue is going to struggle getting past the Sweet 16 round because of their point guard play. If Purdue right now would be a 5 seed, even though they're the 14th ranked team in the country. If they were to win the Big Ten tournament, I think they'd be a 3. And right now they are a hot team. They're playing really well. But this game here is a dangerous game for them. And that is something that I find very interesting. They're just, all right, they are, this is one of those games that's in the middle for them. That's a Saturday home, Tuesday turnaround. And it's early. It's a 6 o'clock game, too. I mean, they'll be in there. I think they're coming in tonight. I think they're going to practice tonight in the Jordan Center. But there are certain parts where Penn State matches up very well with them. There are a couple parts where Penn State does not match up with them.
So would they get? Would Purdue get both a practice tonight and shoot around tomorrow morning, or is it
if they wish?
Okay,
if they wish, they can do whatever they want. I mean, Penn State goes in and practices other places the night before, certain times. I would not doubt that Friday night, Penn State will practice at Minnesota Friday night, I would guess, and not do shoot around on Saturday. That game is at 3 o'clock Eastern, so it's 2 o'clock Central. You might just let them sleep in. Go over to the arena earlier. I'm supposed to do a sit-down for about 45 minutes to an hour on a podcast out there in the hotel. And depending on when it ends, I might go to practice with them. We'll see. Fon raised a slightly better than $10 million. It's about $250,000 more than last year, which is great. Carly Chelkos from field hockey, Jessica O'Neill, Leblinsky from women's fencing, Megan Schaefer, women's soccer, and Charlie Schumann from football, all danced, representing the Student Athletic Advisory Board. And Saab raised nearly $60,000 for Thon and pediatric cancer patients with those four dancing. And Angela Woodlackey from women's soccer, and Schumann, and Casey Francis from women's swimming are the three leaders of the Saab group. So since 2000, now Saab has raised nearly $680,000 for Thon, the Four Diamonds Fund, and pediatric cancer patients. Saab is the $60,000 they raised is the second largest total they've ever had. 2010, they raised over $64,000. So that's impressive. So they get slightly better than $10 million, just above the $10 million mark, which is huge. Gets them back into eight figures after the fallback to $9.7 million last year. Not every dime, 95% of it goes to the Four Diamonds Fund.
You had a chance to catch a lot of the web stream over the weekend. And wow, what the surprise Friday night when you got the pop group with Joe Jonas, DNCE, on stage after 8 o'clock Friday night getting the crowd going. That was really cool to see.
Well, you know who the manager is, right? For Joe Jonas.
Penn State grad?
Jason Ganner.
Sure.
Played in the football team.
Yep.
He's the manager.
And, of course, after Thon DNCE not done, they go downtown to do a gig, and I think true to the rumor, you were there.
Huge fan. I try to keep it under wraps.
I hear there's only one song you play on your iPhone, Cake by the Ocean. That's all you.
Over and over. What was really great at midnight last night?
Right.
The suit showed up. it's been over since 4.
suit and two janitors. Sad. Said, quote, I just want to be a part of it.
You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. You can hear us anywhere in the world with the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.